Hello, beautiful people. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Wojciech.
And you are listening to Brains and Beards Show.
Episode number 8. Does your coding test hurt your recruiting process?
Enjoy. Hello, Wojciech.
Hey, Patrick.
How are you doing?
A bit weird. Recently, I was part of the recruiting process and a candidate called my code overcomplicated. I think overcomplicated means it sucks, right?
Like, yes.
What the hell? Like, I'm recruiting people and they tell me my code sucks? Like, that's ridiculous.
Why do they see your code?
So, the story goes like this. A lot of times when we're working with companies, we start their mobile app, it goes well, they're happy with it. And in the long run, they just because of business risk, they need to have like a person responsible for the mobile in-house in their company.
Makes sense.
So we help them with recruiting because we want them to get the best people and they don't have the technical knowledge in mobile dev. So it's only natural to assist them. And they had an exercise, which wasn't that great. I helped them revise it and we sent it to one of the candidates. And the exercise is like, they get the React Native app, it's kind of set up and they have to build a new feature in it. And the candidate looks at the code and writes back like, oh, I think this code is overcomplicated and too complex and it can be, solution to this exercise can be achieved in a much simpler way. Can I rewrite it from scratch?
Mm-hmm.
The hiring manager writes him back like, I would suggest you not to do that because there is a reason why we have written it like this and that's how we prefer you do it. But of course, like, you're free to send us whatever you want. Like, you, like, worst case, we're not gonna hire you. And he said, okay, I will send you my own solution. And he threw everything away and rewrote it from scratch. Mm-hmm. And I was totally astonished. Like, why would you shoot yourself in the foot like that? I think it's a crazy thing to do. So from my perspective, I wrote the code. He tells me my code is bad, writes a code that is like supposedly is better. And then I'm reviewing it. Like, of course, I'm not going to find it better. Like, you know how it works. It would have to be really, really, really good for me to like it. Like, it's just, I think, human nature.
Yeah.
What do you think?
That's a valid point. I mean, we tend to hire people which are kind of similar to us. So yeah, we like the code which we write on our own. And yeah, I understand you. That's why I guess more than one person should be in the process of the interview and more than one person should make a decision because everybody thinks a little bit different about the topic. And I think we have we've been involved around 12 years in interviewing people and hiring people. And before this episode, we as well talked to fellow developers and get their opinion about the whole process. And it looks like it's very hard to agree on something. Like, most of the people we ask, we disagree on most of the things and we agree on a very few topics. And even, you know, you and me disagree on this process as well. And I can understand why, because, you know, before we met, we've been as well doing hiring for different companies and we were exposed to different hiring processes. And for both of us, I think that the processes which we were using work very good. I don't remember any mishiring from the past. So, you know, different processes, similar outcomes. Of course, we're gonna, you know, stick to the guns, I would say. But yeah, that's very interesting topic. I thought it's gonna be, you know, now more people gonna be having the same opinion, but it looks like no. About this, everybody has a different one. And so, but, you know, like from what I, you know, research, it looks like we agree and other people agree mostly about problems. And fewer of us has a really good solution to it. So yeah, perhaps let's start with the problems and then talk about the things which kind of work.
You mentioned that a lot of people disagree on it. So actually before this show, I shared this story with some colleagues of mine and the perception of it is very different. I think everybody thinks it's obvious what happened there. However, different things are obvious to different people. So everything is naturally X, but this X like varies a lot. I instantly thought like we should talk about it. And I think also a lot of companies don't do, especially for the mobile development, they don't have good coding tests.
True.
So yeah, it seemed like a no-brainer to discuss. However, one important thing we want to get upfront, we're not talking about the whole recruiting process. We're not talking about the technical interviews. We're only talking about the coding test. We are not even talking about all types of coding tests because there are online tests you can make your candidates take. We're not talking about it. We're talking about an exercise where you did the initial screening, you send them a programming task to do at home on their own time. They do it, they send it back, and then you look at it. That's just the scope of this episode. We don't want to get sidetracked because it's big enough on its own. And for sure, we're going to address the technical interviews or how to actually grade a coding task. It's also a bigger thing. In future episodes, maybe we're going to do a small series on hiring. Well, we'll see. So yeah, we know what the coding test is and what it isn't. Let's talk about the employer's point of view. Why do they do the tests? Mm-hmm. One obvious thing that comes to mind is they want to trust that the candidate can actually code.
So yeah, one thing is to trust about the coding. And I think the other aspect is a little bit the soft skills. Well, soft skills. Do they understand what they have to do? And then how to communicate it back? You know, like how do they gonna send this exercise back to you? Are they gonna use nice commit messages to explain their train of thoughts? Are they gonna do, you know, comments in the code? So different things, which is very important because right now we tend to work remotely, and a lot of our daily job is about writing and communicating in the written form, and it's really important to be able to do it right.
Yeah, you touched on a very important thing. The coding test is not just about the code.
Exactly.
It also tests if you're able to follow instructions. Many times in the instructions, it says, please include a README with simple documentation that explains how to run the project. A lot of people don't do that. It's a 5-minute thing to write down, I don't know, Yarn Start and Yarn iOS, but still they don't do it. Or we write, please send us a Git repository. It's not a Git repository, it's just like just a code. Candidates seem to focus on the code itself and whether the application does what it's supposed to do, but they don't focus on the same things that the employers do. As you said, I would like to read the Git history. If it's not there, for me, it's a bad thing. If it's just one commit, it's just like if it weren't there.
There are two commits usually, initial commit and finished.
Yeah, initial commit and cleanup, yeah.
Cleanup.
And linter errors. Yeah, linter. Did they bother to set up a linter? Is the printer set up? If they added tests, are they actually passing? I saw code exercises where the candidate added a lot of tests, then they changed their code and they sent me an exercise where half of the tests were broken. So I think those side things are especially important if you're trying to hire a senior person. Because if you're hiring to an established team, you're adding a more junior profile or a mid-level profile, I think they would come with an assumption that they come there to learn and assimilate. And a senior person would join an organization trying to make their mark. So if they have a coding style that you don't like, well, you might now have a whole team of people writing this style. So I think you have to be extra careful to make sure that you carefully interview seniors. So, well, I touched on another thing. You don't know if they are seniors when you're interviewing them, right? That's what the interview is for. A lot of times what happens that for a senior role, you get expert beginners applying. An expert beginner is somebody who used to be a beginner. They saw how much they moved away from being a beginner. And now they feel like they know everything. And there's this joke, like, there are four levels, when the first one is like, you don't know anything and you know it. The second is you still don't know anything, but you think you know everything. Then you move into you actually know a lot, but you think that you know nothing. And finally, like, you know things and you're like confident in it. So an expert beginner is the second step. People who think they are good for a senior role, but actually they are not ready yet. They don't have like team management experience, or their code practices are not up to the standards, or they lack some kind of self-discipline for, stretching components or writing tests. And a lot of times the candidate knows what they are supposed to be doing, but not necessarily does it in their daily work. I certainly do that. Like, I know at least 10 ways I should be writing my code better, but for some reason I don't do it every single day. There's always a difference between what you know you should be doing and what you actually do on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. There's a similar aspect of it. It's like what you are testing in the code test is that as well, if the candidate can review their own job, it's a sign for, you know, like being able to focus on the work, being able to understand what they are doing or not. So if you are getting code which doesn't run the tests, or, you know, it contains some leftovers and this kind of things, it's basically similar things you're gonna probably at the beginning at least get back in the match request from them, because, you know, they are applying for a job and they don't think about it to clean it up, to check it out, what they're sending. It's gonna be probably the same later on when they're producing the real code. And that's a problem, definitely, because even the code runs, you know, if the code runs but everything around is kind of messy, then you up for losing a lot of time where your team is gonna need to clean up the stuff, or at least have lengthy discussions while merging the code.
Yeah, it was actually a painful lesson to me personally, where I learned that the potential employer treats the coding test as the highest bar of code quality that you're able to produce. And I treated it as like, oh, just some code. I need to show them that, like, FizzBuzz, like, and output the correct things. And I said, and I've sent a coding exercise, fulfilled the criteria of the task, like the code did what it's supposed to do. It worked, it had tests. I thought like, okay, it's pretty good. But the level of the minuscule details they went to when reviewing it, I remember I got removed from the hiring recruiting process because they didn't like the way I named one class, or they felt like one method should belong to another class. And I was at the level of my career where I felt like, okay, like it works, like it's fine, like I can move the method, what's the problem? But they were looking at it, is this the best object design that he's capable of? And when I was writing it, I didn't look at it this way. Mm-hmm. Probably if I took the time to review and actually ask myself the same questions before sending it, I would have done much better.
Yeah, I think we're gonna come to that in the solutions as well, how to lay down the path to follow for the interviewers so they don't shoot themselves in the foot so easily.
Yeah, that's true. One last thing before we move away from this part. For employers, one more benefit of the coding test is some kind of proof of work. If you send a candidate a test that requires 2 or 3 days to produce, create, solve, then you know they really want to work at your company. You know that this candidate is worth the time of your senior developers for an interview. Because sometimes you get candidates who apply on a whim to 100 different companies, and they will always pick the one which pays the most. And for 99 of those companies, doing an interview with them is a waste of time. There are companies, and there's a whole bunch of them, that they value that the candidate actually wants to work in this particular place. And they don't want general candidates who don't mind working anywhere. They want to have like an exact product developer fit. And for them, it's important. And maybe coding test is a way for them to scare people away. But it also means they are scaring some good candidates away by making a difficult test.
Exactly.
Maybe that's an important question. How desperate are you to hire somebody? Are you able to go months without hiring anybody because all the candidates are scared away by your test and you're waiting for the perfect one? That's a very, very difficult business question, right?
Yeah, and I guess a nice segue to the other perspective, how you as a developer look at this. If you get this coding test and they say, okay, take 2 or 3 days to solve it.
Yeah, that's true. Especially if you interview for multiple companies, and if you're looking for a React Native job, I bet 90% of the coding tests are like, please build an app that displays data from this API. Mm-hmm. How many apps like this can you write? I'm not gonna get into now why this is a terrible coding test, but just from the candidate's perspective, you can do it once, you can do it twice, but the third time, fourth, tenth, especially that just running the install scripts for React Native on a slow connection takes you half an hour by the time all the dependencies get fetched. Probably building even a simple app, connecting to a simple API, but you need to set up all the Redux stuff, all the navigators, preferably a test suite, write a couple of tests and all this stuff. It will take you a weekend. And if you're applying to 10 companies, and 10 is not that much, are you sacrificed 2.5 months worth of weekends to do all the tests? Probably not.
We as an agency, we do the setups, you know, kind of often, I would say. Not that often, but it's more likely that we are going to start on Greenfield project than a candidate for a company position.
True.
So, you know, you're testing them on doing something which they should probably not going to do in their job. That's as well, you know, the same problem with some coding tests, which involves a lot of algorithms or some abstract concepts. You're testing things which you're not going to use at the work. So it's kind of, I understand that very well, that you can be disappointed when you get another similar coding test in this direction.
Should you really do the coding test? Because I was surprised recently to hear from candidates that, yeah, I would like to apply for this position, but I've applied to different companies and I will not have the time to do the coding test. It does not stop them from applying. They expect to be part of the recruiting process, but they just don't want to write the code. I think the approach is like, I've been doing this for like 5 years. You can check on my LinkedIn. You can ask my ex-boss. Like, you can trust me, I can write code, right?
This is probably a point where we disagree the most. Because it's really, and as well, it's going to be from company to company different. If you are a small company and you get like a really nice profile, which you know from somewhere, you heard about this person, perhaps about their work or presentations, then I guess you're going to be more flexible in this case. But we were working as well for huge companies, and we were getting like, I don't know, 10 candidates every week for a position. And then on some point, you can't be too flexible, but because you're not gonna move forward, right? You have to screen a lot of candidates and then bring them to make the coding test and then bring them back to the office to do some pair programming and this kind of stuff, right? And on some point, the process is not gonna scale if you're gonna just think I can make for this person some special thing and for the other one as well, and then you just basically stuck in the process.
It will fall apart if you do exceptions for people and let them not to do the coding test?
If you have a lot of candidates and you work for a big company and get a lot of candidates in a week, then on some point you have to have it a little bit more automated, let's say.
True.
Otherwise, you're not going to be able to go through all the candidates.
Probably you would like to screen them better before they get to the coding test. Get the candidates you don't want out of the process early, before yes. Your developers have to spend the time looking for the code.
Yeah, but you know, if you get somebody, if you don't have that many candidates and you get like a really interesting person on the first phone interview and you feeling like, I would like to spend with this person, you know, like working 5 hours a day doing pair programming, and I would be totally cool with that and I would have fun in my work. Then in that case, if this person doesn't want to do a coding exercise, but let's say tell you, I will come to the office and do pair programming with you, then yeah, I would say yes, of course. I don't care that much about the coding exercise if I can evaluate the stuff differently.
Yeah, I think you bridged the gap because for me, in the beginning was like, if somebody tells me I'm not going to take your coding test and deal with it, I'm going to deal with it by rejecting this candidate. My perception is, okay, they might not have the time, but this is an arrogant answer. However, if somebody responds to me the way you just did, like, I'm not going to do your coding test because of X and Y, and I don't have the time to do it. However, we can have a call where we pair program for 2 hours. It's a completely different story.
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, how the Germans are saying, the Ton macht die Musik. You know, you can say the same message in different ways.
Surprisingly, the stories I heard are just like, I'm not going to do the test. Not like, no, not an alternative. Like, I'm not going to do it. I can't be bothered. And that's a no-no for me.
Yeah, I mean, like, but that's the first point. Do I going to have fun working with this person if the person is going to react like this? You know, like, you have to be human in conversation, I would say.
Yeah, you just screened for some soft skills, right? And communication. Let's talk a bit about the difference in attitude from junior and more senior candidates. People who are still early in their career and they know they have to put more effort to get a new job and they will do your coding test. They will probably jump through all the hoops that you provide them to jump through. However, if somebody is more senior, currently the market is like, I think, candidates market. Every single company that I know is hiring. You can get easily into this mindset of like, if not this company, then the other one. And the companies get desperate and you can easily get away with refusing some interview practices that you don't like, which is great for candidates, right?
That's great for candidates as well, for the companies who are, you know, willing to adapt a bit and they can get more candidates in this way because they change the process in the way that more people are likely to take this interview. And perhaps we're going to talk about it in the solutions.
Let's talk about it now, right? You opened this can of worms. How do you make a coding test better?
I think one of the points where everybody agree on is that it shouldn't be for free. If you're going to spend a time doing something for a company, then you should be paid for this task. And I think this is something which we started to do at Brains and Beards from the beginning. We pay candidates for the time they spend on it, but I think more companies should do it.
When somebody asks me how to improve the candidate's experience on the code or on the whole recruiting process, that's one of the things I mentioned. I mentioned it like multiple times to multiple different companies. And I don't remember hearing from another company that they actually pay for the coding test. It's not expensive comparing to how expensive a bad hire is or a missed opportunity on hiring a good person. And I'm like surprised that not many people do it.
Yeah.
So that's a good point because it steers away the conversation from the candidate thinking, oh, they expect me to do free work. Because there's also this urban legend going around that the companies ask candidates to do work on their project for free and then they will reject the candidate, but they're going to use the code, which I have never seen that happen. I don't really believe it's a good business idea. It's, let's say, legally very risky, but it's a myth going around. It's a legend going around and I think every single candidate heard that. So you should be extra careful that your test does not make an impression that you might in a way use this code. For example, if you do an exercise where the candidate has to consume API data from Star Wars API, probably, unless you work for Disney, you're safe that they're not going to think that. When you pay for the exercise, you push away the whole free work argument, and then it's just a matter if the candidate actually has the time to do it.
Yeah, and then you can kind of help in that regard as well with preparing an exercise, which is not just a task in the written form, like consume this API and display this data in the flat list, but you can provide them a project which they can import and directly start coding it and not, you know, setting up Redux and TypeScript and this other stuff.
And I think this has also many benefits because you can set it up in a way that your product is already set. So you can see how difficult it would be for them to jump into your code base, like if they could understand the architecture. You set the code convention. So if they decide to override the whole thing, it's probably a red light, meaning they are not happy following the existing conventions. And if you have a bigger team, like you need to be sure that they will be able to play along with the existing team. For example, if you put their TypeScript, you're sending a message that probably they should type all their code. Like put types on it, like not just type. If you sprinkle some tests over this code base, you suggest to them that they should probably write tests for their code. And then when you're looking at their solution, it's not a question if they forgot about it. I would take it that if I wrote the tests in the setup and they looked at the setup and enhanced the application by building a feature or fixing a bug, and they didn't write a single test, then probably it was their conscious decision that they are not into testing. And for me, that's a red flag. Of course, it has problems because you have to maintain it when the new version of React Native comes out. You have to update it and all this stuff.
Well, you can say it's a legacy project.
Yeah, as long as it compiles on like modern Xcode, you're fine, right? But yeah, there is some effort to maintain it, or especially to start in the beginning. But the benefits are immense. And one last thing. When a candidate sends you over a whole React Native app, like a new app, and you have to review every single line in it, it's a lot of lines they did not actually write.
True.
And if they are just putting commits on top of your setup, you're just reviewing the commits. You just look at the changes they chose to do. Mm-hmm. Nobody forced them to do it. Every single one was their own decision. So yeah, that's a great idea to do it like this.
So yeah, it reflects a little bit more the day-to-day job you are doing at the company, because the probably 80% of the time is reading somebody else's code and applying changes to it.
That's a very good point, because if once you have the setup, you can put some sneaky things in. Like, for example, you know they're going to touch a particular file. You can put there a bug that is not connected to the task itself, but it's easy to spot. And then there is a question. Did they fix the bug along the way? Or did they at least put a comment that there is a bug there? Mm-hmm. Or did they write you about it? Because you would like to know if they follow the Boy Scouts rule, that they always leave the code a bit better than how it was where they got there. Yeah, you can set up some like traps for them that they can spot or choose to ignore. Well, or don't spot at all. A couple more quick questions. So, assuming you did the setup, would you rather have a coding test that is based on fixing a bug in the setup or adding a feature to it, or it doesn't matter?
I like the fixing the bug. Me as a developer, I would prefer to do that.
As a candidate?
Yes, as a candidate.
Yeah.
Because this is, I like stuff like this. I like to play a detective. But we had as well this kind of exercise at some other company and as part of a pair programming, and it was really a lot of fun to doing it with other people, and most people enjoyed it. Otherwise, that was pair programming, different setup. But yeah, I would prefer to fix a bug, to find and fix a bug. I like to dive deep into the code and understand how it works and this kind of things.
I agree. I think it might be better, but crafting a bug that requires to writing like a significant amount of code to fix is like, it's tricky. Like you need to put more work in the setup. I think adding a feature is much easier, but fixing a bug is a nicer experience for the candidates and more entertaining.
It can be as well like beta screening for somebody senior, because you can hide a bug in some particular things, like, you know, life cycle of libraries and this kind of thing. And this way you can check how much do they understand how the parts are glued together, how the React Native environment work and this kind of things.
Okay, I was meaning to ask another question. Do you need a different coding test for junior profiles and senior profiles?
That's a tricky one, because I think yes, but I think more about the, again, like a pair programming than coding test. I do believe that the coding test gets a diminishing value with the experience of the candidate. That on some point it's going to be like really hard with the same exercise to cover what a junior can show and what a senior can show. So perhaps you have different exercises, or you have one exercise with more traps inside, or you know, you can scale it, or you do it in a different way, in the form of pair programming or form of technical interviews.
I think I would answer differently. I understand it's more difficult, but I think I would prefer to have the same exercise for every profile, because I'm not sure you're able to judge the profile accurately before they get the exercise. I have like a really high bar for who I consider a senior developer. I would just expect on the same exercise a senior to pay attention to the details and make sure the Git history is nice, the tests are all there and write in a meaningful way. They spot any possible performance issues, like everything is tip top. I don't believe the exercise for a senior should be like a particularly difficult coding puzzle, but more of it to check if they can solve a regular problem in a perfect, not perfect, in a very good way. So that like, can they write maintainable, elegant, performant code? And I think I'm comfortable with the same exercise for both profiles, except I would treat the responses, the code I'm evaluating, completely different based on the candidate's experience. Like what's a valid, a very nice solution from a junior could be a terrible disqualifying solution for a senior, mm-hmm. for a senior role, actually, yeah.
Yeah, for me, this on some point doesn't bring much to it, because, you know, what if the junior and senior write the same solution, which is possible, because perhaps your exercise is too small to show the difference. As well, one of the most beautiful solutions of a coding exercise I saw, it was from the junior. And so it's like so tricky.
That's true. I think you touched on a subject that a good coding exercise gives them opportunity to shine. If they have an option to actually go above and beyond what was expected, they can invent their own thing, then it's a great exercise.
What about, some solutions from the different perspective for the developers?
One last thing. I think it's a very simple question that we're going to agree on it, but I ask it anyway for the audience. Algorithmic puzzles, a good coding exercise or not for a mobile developer?
Not.
Not. Very good. We got it settled. We can move on to the candidate side of things. Sorry for interrupting you there. Go on.
You touch on the topic that, what should a poor developer do when they have like a 20 or 10 positions to apply for? Every company wants to see what can they do, you know, like what kind of code they can produce. I like your idea that you have one really good project in GitHub, which you can show to the companies. Because for many of them, if you have really good projects, they will be interested in this. Perhaps in some of these companies, you're not going to be, it's not going to replace the coding test, but at least you will show that, you know, you have something in the GitHub, which is well maintained, which is interesting, and which can show what you can do when you are not in the stress of interview. Because interview is always a stress. Hopefully your work at the company is not going to be stressful then. So it's better to show, if you have something like that, what you can produce, not under the pressure, it could be very valuable for somebody checking it.
That's a very good point. I like this idea. I would make one disclaimer there. It does not mean that you need to have a repo on your GitHub account. It means you have to prepare a special repository where you want to present your skills. This is an app you built especially for, well, if you have a good app on GitHub, like you can just use this one, but most people don't because it's not all, it's rarely open source. But this needs to be a code that you're like very proud of, and you're happy to defend it on a technical interview, and the tests are there, the Git history is nice, like it has to be the effort you would put into a coding test. And I think, I don't know, most of the companies would accept it instead of the coding test, because an explanation that you don't really have the time, but you're willing to show something else that's obviously yours, I would be fine with that. Probably like you wouldn't get to Google like this, but maybe that's a good thing.
Perhaps if you're gonna, you know, your project shows Google security issues, then perhaps you're gonna get a job.
yeah, this could be. One thing also came to my mind, a coding test that I prepared, like sometimes I get an impression that I am not 100% clear on what the expectation is. It's up to the candidate to make sure that the work they are presenting is gonna be judged as the best work of their career, like absolute top-notch level that they are able to perform. And I'm not sure if candidates get it this way. So whenever I'm preparing a coding exercise now, I'm explicitly clear how this will be judged. That we're gonna look at every single line, we're gonna analyze it. I think it's very important to explain to the candidates that it's not just about the fact that like they're gonna run the app and the app works, it's fine, like please go in. Now, of course, it depends on the company what they actually grade, but it's very important to be clear on the criteria that you're gonna use to look at the result.
Yeah, I think we say basically something like around the lines that your work is basically a merge request and it goes to the master, and this is the work which you're gonna want to present to your fellow colleagues to get it merged. So do it in the way you would do it really at work.
I think that's not enough. I think we need to revise it. Usually the way we do it is we send a coding test and then we have a technical interview with a candidate where their solution is the foundation of the conversation. We basically look through the code, provide feedback, ask for clarification. When generally the way you would have normal technical interview, but like the starting point is the code. I've heard a couple of times a phrase where a candidate says, I did not expect it's gonna be judged in such detail. It's a pity because if they would have expected, they would have shown themselves better, but now I have to evaluate them on what they have shown me. And if it's not their best side, then well, it sucks, no?
Yeah, but that comes back to the question, you know, like, are you really wanna work for this company or is just one of the 10 other companies and you don't really care? We always hiring, you know, like adults, and everybody should be able to, if they are not sure, they should be able to open the email program and type a question, and everybody is more than happy to give a guidance, as you would do at work. You get a task in Jira and you don't understand fully, and then you ask questions. And that's something I think should be expected from the candidate.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't guess. It's better to ask than just, you know, guess and do something which is perhaps not fully understood.
And if you're solving the test on a weekend where you cannot expect a response, just when you're sending the exercise over, write a sentence or two explaining that you were writing this on a weekend, so you didn't ask questions, but like you made an assumption that something.
And that's another good point, because you shouldn't as a company give anybody like a tight deadlines. I mean, a week, that's a bare minimum, I would say, because a week includes more or less two weekends, let's say. So yeah, they have a chance to do it when they are able to do it and not do it in haste during, so I don't know, nights or this kind.
Yeah, definitely. Before we go off topic somewhere, I think it's a good moment to wrap up. I think we've covered the subject of a coding test pretty well. I think we're gonna come back to recruiting soon, maybe next episode, who knows. It's definitely something that I wanted to say know a lot about, but I would say rather we're deeply interested in, because I have experience in this subject, but I would like to do better. But it's certainly a subject that we think about a lot. Yeah, I would be happy to share what we came up with. I would say if you're curious what our recruiting process looks like or how the coding test looks in practice, why don't you apply and then you'll see. Is there anything you wanted to add before we wrap up?
Perhaps we should answer the question. Does coding test hurt your hiring process or not? And I would say it can. And I would advise to basically get some feedback from the candidates. How do they feel about it? And iterate on it, because it's not simple. And there's for sure room to improve. Everybody has. So yeah.
Definitely. It can be improved in any single company. I think it's something that you should look at every year or every 2 years. So my answer would be, does your coding test hurt your hiring process? Yes, it probably does, but it's a necessary evil. I think the coding test is not going away. The candidates are still going to be expected to do it, but the company should do much better on making this experience nicer, more friendly, and shorter, because they are usually unnecessarily long.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Great. Wonderful conversation, Patrick. I especially like the conversations that we have when we don't agree on everything, because it makes the recording this podcast much more interesting. I already have ideas how to take such controversial subjects in the future. I learn much more from disagreeing with people than I do from agreeing with them.
But he is a very nice person, don't you know? So don't take literally the sentence.
yeah, that's true. At least Patrick trusted it when one point when he hired me on one of my first jobs. Thanks for taking the time to listen to it. It's been a long episode, and it shows dedication that you got all the way here. And hope you find our episodes just as interesting. And talk to you next Thursday. Bye.
Thursday at 9. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the episode. Please subscribe if you haven't yet. And if you like our show, consider sharing it with your friends. You will find notes to this episode on our page, brainsandbeards.com/podcast, where you can as well leave us feedback or suggest a topic for the future episodes. We would be very happy hearing back from you. Stay safe and curious. Till the next one. Bye.